Okay, if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and I really meant to put a lapel mic on or something this morning because we're not being recorded very well from this thing on our system, so Rick, remind me to do that, okay? And maybe it'll be a little bit better recording because Tom's recording is always much better than mine. Of course, everything he's ever done is much better than mine. So I'm not surprised. Come on, get with me here today. Lordy mercy. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, here we're going to read, okay? Are you there? And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. It's too small, too narrow, too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam," that's to build on, "and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go on, go ye." And one said to him, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." We want you to go too. Now, this was Elisha, the man of God. "We want you with us." And he answered, "I will go." Anybody who is in a leadership role in the church who is not ready to go when another person asks them to is not a good leader. Amen? Truth. If you're a leader, you got to be one. And Elisha was their leader. He was their main man, the man from God. And they said, "We want you to go with us." And he said, "I will. I'll go." Then in verse 4 he says, "So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." Going to build onto that building, aren't they? Things change in verse 5. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Any of y'all ever borrowed something and tore it up? It's an awful feeling, isn't it? Man, it's awful. Don't want to be there. Or you've ever lost your phone. See, we're getting down to the everyday thing now here. Have you ever lost your phone? What happened when you lost your phone? Did you panic? Oh, come on, you did too. Well, if you're poor, you did. Okay? But if you got plenty of money, you probably didn't. Okay? Thank you. Yeah, if you've got something borrowed or you just lose something that you've had for a long time, you panic. Well, this man lost it, and the thing that really bothered him wasn't so much that it was his. It wasn't his. It was borrowed. Belonged to someone else. And the man of God said, now this is real good, and I'll get into this in a minute, but I just want to read it slowly here so you kind of get your ideas going too. And then when I get to it, you'll say, "That's exactly where I was going with that." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" Now that's a little different than we would say it. Where did it fall? Where did it go in the water at? And he showed him the place. Sounds like he knew exactly where it went in. Can you imagine when the weight came off of that axe handle? He said, "Oh, no." I mean, that's how sensitive you would be. Because what's the heaviest part of the axe? The axe, not the handle. Right? So when that axe head went, he knew immediately it was gone. And he showed him the place. And Elisha did this. He cut down a stick. Now, there was a lot of other ways he could have done this. He was the miracle man at this particular time. He could have done it a lot of different ways. But looking forward to a day when a tree would be cut and a man from heaven would be hung on that tree. That's what this is looking forward to. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Now here's something you won't believe. And the iron did swim. And the iron did swim. Mel, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Mel deals in this kind of thing. It's not lightweight stuff. But the iron swam, folks. You got to believe that. The iron came to the top. And it floated just like a piece of styrofoam. Do you believe that? This borrowed axe came to the top. Let's bow our heads and ask God to bless this message. Our God in heaven, we are really grateful for what you've done for us and what you're going to do here today. We're thankful, Lord, that you have reminded us that there is a place where we're going that we get homesick for it. Lord, I just pray that we'll all be ready to go to that place when the time comes. We're going to praise you for what you're going to do here today. If there's a lost person in this congregation, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that the Holy Spirit convicts them and they see themselves lost and ask you to forgive them of their sin of unbelief and be saved. And Lord, if there's a Christian worker in here today that finds himself in this message, Lord, I do pray that we do something about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Elijah had been taken up in the chariot. Y'all know that story too? Did you ever try to imagine what that must have looked like from their point of view? A chariot comes by and takes him up and he's placed in the chariot. In the air now, he's placed in the chariot and he's gone. But before he left, he had to do something for Elisha. Do you remember what it was? He said, Elisha asked for it, and then Elijah gave it to him. The mantle. He asked for it, and Elijah gave it to him. But he asked for something else. He asked for a double portion of his spirit. A double portion of his spirit. Now that's where this message is going. If you're not leaning toward the spiritual end of this thing right now, if this is going to be just another story of a man going up in a chariot and another man going to make some iron float, then you won't get it. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to touch our minds and hearts today and see where this is going. Okay, so Elijah's gone, and Elisha is here. With that double portion of spirit and that mantle. Do you remember how Elijah did that when they were going to cross the river? He just took that mantle off and smote that water and it separated. And you all thought the Red Sea was the only one that did this? No, uh-uh. No, he hit that and it separated and they went across on the other side. Well, when Elisha was coming back across, he did the same thing because he had the mantle then. He took the mantle, hit the water, and the water separated, and they went back on the other side. Now, Elisha was doing miracles, even though they weren't as big as Elijah's miracles. Something was happening with the, I'm going to call it the church, in where they were dwelling, because, you know, the young prophets, the sons of the prophets came to him and said, we don't have enough room here. Our Sunday school's growing. People are getting excited. They're inviting people to church. And we don't have enough room. Well, that doesn't sound like that his miracles were all too small, does it? It sounds like that he was doing some things that was touching the lives and hearts of people where they were doing something. They were really working here. That wasn't a problem at all. They were working. Now that the building is too small, they recognized it. And that was one of the things I got from this, was that the sons of the prophets were the ones who recognized it. They were the young leaders in the church. And so they recognized the fact that more people were coming and that they were going to have to do something. So they said, we got to do something here. And so they're going to do something. But I like the idea that they recognize that the place is just too small for us to dwell in. Now, this is a great spiritual lesson for Liberty Fellowship Church. Not just for this week, not just for next week, not just for the month of September, but for October, November, December, and 2019, 2020, 2021. And that's as far as I can count. Right on. Now, see, the message for this, it's not a temporary message, and the result of it is definitely not temporary. And so we're going to take this message and we're going to apply it to Liberty Fellowship Church. Here's how they put it. They said, let's all work together and go get some wooden beams. We need some wooden beams to build onto our building, so let's all do it together. Could this side look over here to this side and say, let's all do it together? Okay, now let's do it with a little bit of excitement. Can you go ahead and turn? Don't say anything yet. Just turn. You know, kind of throw your leg up there in the seat and turn real good. You know, this isn't a glance thing, okay? I don't want you to glance. I want you to turn. Come on, Alex. Do it, Alex. Alex can do it. I know he can. Okay, now look over there. Now say, let's all do it together. Now, would you all ask them also? Okay, y'all were outnumbered a little bit over here, but that's okay. Yeah, the Spirit was there, and it was good. So we're going to do it together. Isn't that the way we're supposed to do things? Together? It's not any one person's responsibility to get it done. Not from the pulpit, not from the pew, not from the Sunday school class, not from the choir. It's all of us. We got to do it together. And so when you do it together, if you were going to have a family reunion, would you invite one person and hope that the word got out? Now that is a good statement right there. How much do y'all love each other? Rachel, you just messed up my day. No, that's really a good point. Do you love each other and do you want to do things together? And she's right. Exactly right, that if you don't like everybody in your family, you're probably going to be reluctant to invite everybody to the family reunion, right? But you can't do that. They're family no matter what. I mean, Donnie will tell you, if the guitar's out of tune, it's still a guitar, right? And if some of us are out of tune, in which we get out of tune, I've been out of tune. Have you ever been out of tune? Then you know that others can get out of tune also. And being out of tune is not a good thing. If you know harmony, you know that being out of tune is not a good thing. But here they're saying, let's all do this together. Let's go get some wooden beams and we can take care of this. And then in verse 4, they said, we want you to go also. And in verse 4, he answers them. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. So now everything's together, right? The preacher's there, the people are there, they're out there with their axes, and they're just cutting up a storm because they see that this needs to be done. And so they're doing it. Then, one willing worker lost his axe head. One. Not the whole group. There was a group of them. But one of them lost his axe head. Now, the rest of the story is the message for today. Because you see, when he lost his axe head, he lost his power for what he was doing. Go with me there, because the axe head is a symbol of something, and you already have it figured out, I'm sure. If he lost his power for service for God, you already have it figured out what he lost, right? In this case, it was an axe head. But in your case, it's not the axe head. You don't have an axe that you're out there cutting beams for. But if you have lost your power for service, your axe head is in the water. And by the way, it wasn't your axe head. Thank you. It wasn't your axe head. What God gave you to do service for Him, if by some reason or other we have allowed that to go awry, we have lost the axe head, we're not fit, and I'm going to correct that in a few minutes, but right now we're not fit for service if we have lost the axe head. For one thing, you can't do anything successful without the axe head. I don't know if any of y'all have ever used an axe or not, but I have. I've used a double axe and a single axe. Y'all know what a double is. That's when one side gets a little dull, you go to the other side. Or if you're cutting two trees at once, you can cut one here and one here. Thank you. I see that some of you got that. But I love to use an axe. I really do. I don't have the stamina and stuff to do one like I used to. But, man, I could just let all my frustrations on whatever I was using that axe on. I could imagine that it was something I really wanted to get rid of. And I would just go to town on whatever it was with a good axe. I think somebody borrowed my axe one time and never did bring it back, because I haven't seen it in a while. But you see, when you lose the axe head off of the handle, have you ever used an axe where the head was slipping? Now we're getting down there, aren't we? See, I'm not going to go too fast with this at the first, because if we don't get in here using the axe and the axe head, we're not going to get this message, okay? But we need to get it. As Liberty Fellowship Church, we need to get it. Now, once this young man had power, when he first started with that borrowed axe, he was just chopping away. I can just see him out there, man, and big old hunks were flying out of that tree, and he was just laying those things down. He did have power when the axe was right, but now it's gone. That's the problem here. It's gone. And by the way, if the axe head has ever come off, it always comes off suddenly. Have you ever noticed that? You don't expect it to come off, and all of a sudden the axe head is gone. Then you have to go try to find the axe head, and then you have to go try to find a way to put it back on that same handle, if the handle's worth anything. And I'll get into how you put it back on in just a minute. Some of you have already got that because you've done it before. But you've got to have the axe head if you're going to do it. It had been coming loose. I've never seen an axe head that was put on right and was good and solid that ever came off suddenly. But when it happens to us, we think, well, how did that happen? How did I lose my power? That's unexpected. No, it's not. No, it's not. We know it didn't come off suddenly and unexpected. But in this case, I'm using this because that's when all the wheels come off of it, we always say, well, how did that happen? Man, that was sudden. But then we think back. We think back, and then we know it wasn't suddenly, and we know it wasn't unexpectedly. So what had happened here is he had not taken care of his axe. Are you with me now? He had not taken care of his axe. He hadn't checked it occasionally to see if the axe head was good and solid on the axe. Now, I've driven 10-penny nails and metal wedges and everything else down in there to get that axe handle to come out and grab that axe real good and strong, you know, so it won't come off, because I've had a slippery axe head too. And I know you don't want one of your kids standing nearby when you're using an axe and the thing slipping. That's a good point I never thought about, but thank you, Lord. You don't want anybody to get hurt because you are not taking good care of your axe. Huh? You know, and folks, if we're not taking good care of our acts, if we're not doing what we need to do, somebody's going to get hurt. Now, so if you're just carrying around an axe handle with no axe on it, you're not going to be very effective unless you're hitting something that you don't really need to cut. You probably don't need that, do you? So you're carrying around the handle, but your spirit is gone. What happened? Well, it got loose and it came off. And we're going to talk about getting loose, so don't go away from me, okay? So what happened was he lost his axe head, so he lost his ability to work because he had lost the source of his power. But notice that he did it while he was working. He didn't lose it because he was lazy. If he'd been lazy, he'd been sitting over there watching the others work. But that wasn't what was going on. He was working. Now let the Holy Spirit carry this to you. You may be busy in Liberty Fellowship Church. You may be carrying the axe handle. You see, when anybody's carrying anything, you notice, don't you? You may be carrying an empty axe handle and hoping no one notices that there's not an axe head on it. Because then you don't look too smart, do you? Just carrying an axe handle. But what had happened here was this man did not lose his source of power because he was lazy, and he didn't lose it because he was doing nothing. He was doing something. He was cutting the tree. But he simply had not taken care of his axe. Do things. And you know, if you've been here very long, and you know me as your pastor, you know I encourage you to get involved, do something, and especially inviting folks to hear the gospel. We've got to do that. But I say, yeah, do something, do things, but make sure that what you're doing is for God's glory, because if your axe head is missing, God's not getting the glory. You're just carrying around an empty axe handle and nothing is happening. And if nothing's happening, then God's not going to get the glory for it. If the axe head has started slipping, take care of it. Do we all know that? I know that. I know that from the pulpit down, I know that. I know that the axe head can start slipping. And I know when it's slipping that it's slipping. I see the situation, and I know it's happening. So he lost his axe head, which was not his own now. Don't forget that, which was not his own. He lost it, and very first thing he said when he lost it was, alas, master. It's right there. You can read it. Master. There wasn't anybody else to go to. He was their leader. He was their spiritual leader. And so he went to him. When you are losing your axe head, or you have lost your axe head, and you know whether you're losing it or you've lost it, amen? We do. We know. I can tell you this. It takes a while, because Satan's very subtle in how he does things. And if something that you're doing in your life that is causing you to lose the axe head and it's slipping off, could I tell you, do something quickly? Do something quickly, because the axe head will come off. And, well, let me go on and finish. You see, the Lord puts the Spirit in our keeping, and we're responsible for it. He puts the axe head on our handle, and he says, now this is your power to work, and you're responsible for the axe head. He entrusted that axe head to me. And I'm responsible, because that's the area in which I please God. And without that, we can't build on to our spiritual lives unless we're doing what we're doing with the power of the axe head in our lives. So, when he lost it, I am saying that when he cried out, it was painful for him. I know the pain of losing something or messing something up that I have borrowed. I know the pain of it. Oh, man, it'll grip you, won't it? And he was painfully conscious of the facts that he had lost his axe head. He realized his source of power was gone. Now, if that doesn't bother you, now it might take a while for it to get to where you do something about it. But I'm telling you that from the very beginning of the axe head slipping, you know the pain of losing the axe head. He gave it to us, and he says, here, I want you to use it. You see, the preacher knows about his own axe head. He knows when the axe head is slipping. He does. And it's painful. It's painful. Sunday school teachers know when the axe head is slipping. And it's painful. When you lose the axe head, it's painful. When you, if you're a singer and you're losing the axe head, you know you're losing it. And if you've lost it, you know the pain of singing a song or teaching a Sunday school class or preaching a sermon. If it's gone, it's painful. We're going into September, folks. And God's given us a message here this morning that is painful for us. If that axe head has already slipped off and or it's slipping, you know exactly what's going on. Amen? So don't try to fall a tree without the axe head. Don't try to fall a tree without the Spirit of God in your life, because it's not going to be pretty. He immediately appealed to his master. Alas, master. No one else that he can go to. That's it. And I would say to you again, please do it, and let's do it quickly. Because somewhere down the road, the axe head's going to come off. If it's slipping, don't use a Band-Aid. Don't use a Band-Aid. If the axe handle's no good, see, the axe handle's not even in this picture. Did you notice that? Except that it carries the axe head. It's okay to get a new axe handle. If that one can't be so the axe head can be put on substantially tight, then don't mess with it, okay? So you tell God you have lost your power. Do you do that? Do you go to God and say, God, I've lost my power? Does he know you've lost your power? Of course he does. I got a feeling that Elisha wasn't that far away when the axe head hit the water. Amen? I got a feeling that Elisha knew. But you see, the man who had the axe needed to know. And he needed to ask the person that they had brought with him who has the spiritual power. He needed to make sure that he knew that he recognized he had lost it. And then he wants something done about it. So he wants his axe head restored. He wants it back. If you're a child of God, and if you're a preacher or a teacher or a singer or a prayer or just somebody doing some other work in the Lord, if you're there and you've lost it, you're painfully aware that you've lost it and you want something done about it. This man did. He wanted his power restored. Now, somebody would call that a backslidden person. You can call it what you want to, but in this message, your power was slipping and it came off, and now you're trying to do something, because these were all workers. You're trying to do something and the power's not there because you're not where you need to be. There are things in your life that should not be there, and they need to be gone. What causes the axe head to slip? He wanted it back. And could I tell you that God wants it back for you. You don't have to slip around the corner and say, God, you know where I'm at, and I've got a bunch of excuses, and I could give those all to you if it would help. But God knows He knows the pain in our heart as a child of God. He knows the pain in your heart if the axe head has come off. And He wants to restore it. Now, in verse 6 and 7, He did have it restored. And by the way, it was a miracle that you had the axe head in the first place. You see, because you can't supply your own axe head. You may supply your own handle, but you can't supply your own axe head. He gave you your axe head in the very beginning, remember? He said, now here's your axe head, you're responsible for it. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you the Spirit of God in your life, and you're responsible for it. And now it's going to be replaced. And here's how it happened. I'm going to go back over it because I think we need to know this. And the man of God said, where fell it? Where did it go in the water? Do you know where the axe head went? I'm just going to pause a second. If your axe head has come off of the handle, do you know that it's missing? And if you know that it's missing, where did it come off? Because, see, God's going to, He's not going to let this be a vague deal. He wants you to know where it came off. Do you want to be where you used to be with the Lord? Do you want the sweet Spirit of God flowing from you and you to have that sweet happiness that you had when you were first saved and everything was going good and you were on fire and using that axe handle and that axe head just chopping down trees everywhere? You were going like crazy. You remember how good it was? Well, He wants you back there. And so He said to him, where did it fall off? Now, and He showed him the place. So we know, we got to know. We got to know where it came off. We got to know what caused this thing to come off. So He showed him the place. And he cut a stick and cast it in thither, and iron did swim. You believe that, right? You told me earlier you believe that. The axe head did swim. Well, if we know where it fell, and we know that God's interested in where it fell, and He is. You see, because He already knows. But He wants us to know that He knows, and He wants us to know that we know where it fell off so that we can do something about it. If we keep things vague, it never gets taken care of. So here, He's saying, where did it fall? And you say, okay, I'll show you where it fell. It wasn't found in a place where it didn't fall. Sometimes you got to hear it like that. You're not going to find it where it didn't fall, because an axe head is going to go straight to the bottom. It is. And so when it did, he said, okay, where'd you lose it? He said, well, I lost it right here. You can't fix it any other way except to have God fix it. And He'll come back and fix it. In your pastor's case, if it was mine and I knew that I lost the axe head, am I going to fix it by preparing better sermons? The answer is no. If I preach like Billy Graham, it wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't. Better messages is not going to do it. If you could sing a better song, it wouldn't do it. If you could hear a song, and by the way, sometimes we allow how we hear things and what's said to be our source of strength. In other words, Brenham was sharing a song with me earlier this morning, and it was a song called Tethered. And he said, I want you to hear this song, and I listened to it, and it's not a song for me, it's a song for Henry. But it was a good song because it had to do with tethered to the heart of God. And folks, if we're tethered to the heart of God, when we lose the axe head, it's going to be painful. And we're going to be conscious of the pain that it's causing. And it's not because of anything good I was done. What happened was we just get worldly. And we let other things take over, and while other things are taking over, and we forget where our relationship with God is, while all that time it's happening, the axe head is beginning to slip off the handle. It's coming off. So what caused the axe handle to come, or the axe head to come off, and where did it go? Where did it happen? And then he says, okay, I'll take care of it. By the way, God will always take care of it. But not until he sees we're disturbed about how painful it is that we lost the axe head. I got a feeling Elisha looked at the pain on that boy's face. He knew what a pain it was that he had lost that borrowed axe head, that it didn't belong to him, and now it was gone. He saw his face. He said, I see the pain. I'll take care of it. And God looks at us, and he sees the pain. He does. You think nobody notices? Well, we may not notice each other's pain, but God does. And when he sees the pain in your face, because you've lost the axe head, he'll say, I'll take care of it. And he'll use the same method he used in the very beginning when he gave us the axe head. He'll use a piece of wood. The same thing he used when his son was hung on an old rugged cross, an old piece of wood. He'll use the same thing. He'll say, I just want to take you back to Calvary for a minute. I'll take you back to Calvary, and you'll find out that the iron can swim. It can. And so the iron did swim. That's what it says. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle of grace by the casting in of this stick called the cross, or the casting of the stick that Elisha had in his hand. This miracle of the iron swimming, he says, and the iron did swim. If God is bringing your lost power back within your reach, and he always will, he won't just bring it up to where you can't get to it, because he knows the pain in your heart and he wants it solved. And so he's going to bring that axe head up to where you can reach. And then he says, okay, here it is. What are you going to do? Then you reach and get it. What did he say? He said, put out your hand and take it. The iron did swim. Now, put out your hand and take it. If we are where we need to be, and if we're not, September won't matter. I can do all the planning and promotion that I want to, and you can too. But if our spirit is not right, if our axe is not on the axe handle, and we're doing things to glorify God, September won't matter one bit. It'll just be going through the motions. And you see, without the axe handle, the axe on the axe handle, we're just going through the motions. Amen? You say, wow, this is tough for you to throw this on us today. No, it's not. You want the axe back, right? We want the axe head back. Then let's ask him, please give me the axe head back. I'll take good care of it. I'll take good care of it. I'll keep it sharp. I'll put a little oil on it every now and then. Keep the rust down. I'll inspect the handle every once in a while to make sure it's good and strong. Then I'll work for you. reach out your hand and take it because the iron is swimming. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that the iron can swim, that you are the God of miracles, and that it's a miracle in our life when we see that we have lost the power to do your work so that we don't just go through the motions. Lord, we're going to thank you for the restoration of that power in our lives. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.